He's a really good golfer. Going to the next guest is also a very good golfer.
We got a special guest listening.
Who is?
He's texting me and annoying me.
Who's that?
John Cartwright.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. He's bugging me.
Cardi. Great Penrith man, yeah. Cardi.
Cardi.
He's not there anymore, but...
We love you listening, but go and do something constructive with your day.
Well, what's he asking you?
Oh, he's bagging me.
Is he?
He thinks James called me Steve when he called me Dino. So Cardi's now texting going, how are you today, Steve?
Our next guest would have been listening. Richard Cowan.
Go and annoy someone else, Cardi.
Did James call Dino Steve?
Sorry, Paul. I didn't quite catch what you said.
Look, very good. Very
Cardi is one of my favourite Cardi's one of my favourite footballers. I'll stick with him.
That'd be right.
Good Penrith man.
I'll say that he was right. Yeah.
Of course
it's
you would.
It's surprising when people talk about James Cummings as a trainer. Great trainer, James Cummings, but can play golf. But he doesn't play golf that often, he tells me. He only plays on the Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Sunday.
He's got a bit of spare time, has he? Gee. He can hit a ball, as you can, my friend. Just quickly, Scotty Scheffler, as I said to James, it's remarkable to think he's just 27 and it just seems like pressure's just washes off him. He doesn't worry about it.
It wasn't that long. Like in the middle of the early in the round, it was four tied at the six under, and you're thinking, what's going to happen? And then he just finds another gear. But yeah, those putting stats are always so wrong if you're listening. Like a bloke can two putt from 4 feet, another bloke two putts from 60 feet and still a two putt green.
Yeah.
When Tiger was complained about his putting, it was because he was hitting it to 60 feet. The putting stats are always so wrong. Scotty Scheffler's in the top echelon of putters. Mm. You don't be number one in the world if you can't putt. It's imbiotic when you get a commentator saying that. And in regards to Tiger Woods, Bulldog, just so I can say, if you take the field of battle, you are fit. I don't want to hear complaints. Oh, he was this, he was that. He was on the field, he was fit.
I think he put it all in without just making the cut, and then his body just can't last four rounds. I tell you what, though, yesterday, though, Rich, two horses who did have no issues with those testing conditions were Broadsiding and Magic Time. Firstly, Broadsiding, we just heard from James, some chance he could press on to Brisbane, but he's proved himself on a dry track, the Fernhill, and now on that wet track. So going forward, he's a classic contender for sure next season.
Yeah, look, taking nothing away from any horses that raced yesterday or won, but the conditions were horrible, were horrendous. It was certainly advantageous for a lot of the day to be up along the fence. That was the place to be. Nash worked it out earlier than a few of the others. That was where majority of the winners. I think Magic Time finally said, I've got to get out at least see. Some jockeys couldn't see. In regards to Broadsiding, well, in the Fernhill, the gap was outstanding. Like when he got out in that at about the 250, he went bang. And as much as Linebreaker Longbacker looked home yesterday, as soon as Broadsiding had a sniff of him, I think they're both very, very smart horses. And Manal, look, we know how good she is as well, but she just never went a yard in that ground for Jamie Carr yesterday.
Rich, what or who was your carnival highlight?
Look, I think you'd be a complete lunatic to say that if Pride of Jenny wasn't the highlight of the carnival, if it wasn't highlight of the year, just because it was something we don't see often done in Australian racing anymore with a massive lead. I think the others could easily get jobs with the sleep apnea group that they were back in the field, wondering what was going to happen, what was going to happen while that was happening. Declan Bates had built up a lead. It would have been exciting if the chasing packer got closer in the last little bit, but from the 1,000 metres, it was clear cut that nothing was going to get near it. So, but it was clearly the performance and the exciting part of racing for the whole carnival prior to Jenny. We love seeing daring tactics like that. And, wow, what a performance she's done to go from, you know, moderate grade up to, you know, one of the best horses in the country.
Does she get horse of the year, Rich?
Oh, I tell you what, there's a claim for it. Look, there's a lot of in the argument, but, look, she's certainly in the claim. The one thing I will say, Ray, and you'd be more... Are we seeing a lot of these mares that race on? We're seeing them. Are we seeing them go to another level when they get to five and six? Like
maybe they're maturing.
Is there an argument to have that too many mares? We know the stallions get retired early. I just wonder, with so much prize money around, and the mare can only have one baby a year, is it? advantageous for a mare to keep racing for that extra year or
100%. That's why they are staying in training, and we are seeing that the top colts go to stud because they're worth so much money at stud. But to your point, a mare can only produce one foal a year at, you know, sometimes they miss a foal. So it is advantageous if you've got an elite mare to continue racing because the prize money is absolutely enormous in Australia.
We've just got
racing.
To find that elite mare, right?
Yeah, that's the hard part, Richie. Hey, Richie, you're working today or you got a day off?
If all goes to plan, Ray, I'll be sitting at the SCG watching the great Sydney Swans, Tommy Papley, and all the gang have a run around and blow them away.
Fair enough. Yeah, they're going well, the Swannies. Hey, Rich, appreciate it. It's been a great autumn carnival. We'll talk next week. Minor meeting at Rose Hill, but my favourite race meeting is coming up after that, the Hawkesbury Standalone.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a argy-bargy about those two races yesterday because they'll have an effect on the Hawkesbury and the Scone meeting, so stay tuned. Anything happens, I'll let you know, Ray. But,
should put them on Thursday, yeah, shouldn't they, Rich?
Sorry?
They should put them on the Anzac Day meeting.
I think that might have... That'll only bring it 9 days before the Hawkesbury meeting, but it's old something. Fire, you never know. There might be an addition to Wednesday. But
okay.
As you know, I don't make the final decision. I can just put an argument forward.
Fair enough. Well, keep us posted, Rich. Thanks for your contributions during the autumn. We'll do it all again next week, though, mate.
Have a great day, boys, and back plenty of winners.